Simply the Gospel is a Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. Hello, this is Jim Pursley. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our audio devotional sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. This audio devotional sermon is supplemental to our downloadable Matthew study found on our website at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. Please visit our website for this and other useful resources. You're listening to Lesson 2, entitled An Overview of Matthew. Here in Matthew, Jesus is presented as king. Now Matthew builds the case for Jesus as king over time, coming to the culmination of the great proclamation in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, where Jesus proclaims, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now I find this interesting in the way that Matthew holds us in suspense. He reveals Christ little by little, first as an infant. Who is this? Who is this child? Well, we know he is the Christ, but who is he becomes more apparent throughout the Gospel of Matthew until the very end. Now contrast this with the Gospel of John, where John begins by presenting Jesus as the Word of God, the Logos, the eternal reason. And he says this Logos, this Word, became flesh. So right off the very bat in the Gospel of John, he declares Jesus as the eternal God become flesh. It's just interesting to think of how different writers write and how the Holy Spirit superintended the writing of the Scripture. Well, Matthew uses the Old Testament. It's a powerful tool in his hand. Oftentimes, we don't think of the Old Testament today as being a powerful tool. Oftentimes, people will respond when asked if they're what kind of a Christian are they. They'll say, "I'm a New Testament Christian." Friends, we want to be Bible Christians because we see that the Bible, the Scripture, the Old Testament is used as powerful tools in the hands of men and women to convince people of who Jesus Christ is. Matthew uses the Old Testament to bear witness to his Jewish readers that Jesus is the Christ, the expected one. Many Old Testament texts are brought forward to Matthew, brought to the forefront, and they seal the verdict as if he's a lawyer arguing or persuading his audience that Jesus is indeed the one who is expected. For instance, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, he references Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And Micah 5:2 speaks of a unique ruler over Israel. And indeed, Jesus was a unique ruler. But Matthew makes it plain. If you're an Old Testament scholar, or you're a Jewish reader, you're familiar with the Old Testament, they didn't have the New at that time, you would be expecting a unique ruler to rule over the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, Matthew references Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Says, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." You see, in the Old Testament, there was a forerunner predicted, one who had come before Christ. He would be the one that would prepare the way. Now, what if Jesus would have come, claiming to be the Christ, and people would ask, "Well, where was the forerunner?" If there was no forerunner, Jesus would not be the one at least claims to be the Christ, wouldn't be the Christ. There had to be a forerunner. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, Matthew references Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. And these verses speak of a triumphant king, a chosen servant. This servant is not like an average servant. Listen to how God in his word from Isaiah 42 describes this particular servant, Messiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, says God, the one I love, in whom I delight." And it goes on to speak about his grace and his mercy and his triumph, how he leads humbly. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 44, Jesus himself is speaking, asking the Pharisees to answer a question for him. And this question comes based on Psalm 110, verse 1. The Pharisees had come to Jesus and asked him who he was, and Jesus said, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They answered, "The son of David." And Jesus asked them, or said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" Then Jesus goes on to ask the question, "If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" Jesus was predicted in the Old Testament, and he is clearly declared to be the Lord. He is God. This is absolutely essential to Christian doctrine. We proclaim Christ as both God and man. And this God-man is presented in Matthew as the King. It's no small thing. The fact that the word kingdom is used 53 times, 51 times as it relates to Jesus' kingdom, and 2 times referring to the kingdom of darkness. When you see a word used that many times, take note of it. It's very, very important. It should heighten our awareness of the importance of Jesus' coming and why he came. Practically and personally for us, if we have faith in Jesus, the knowledge that Jesus is King over all things and over everyone, every kingdom, and that he's a good king should embolden us to live joyful and obedient lives for him and before him. Matthew leaves no doubt to his Jewish readers, or at least he wants them to know with certainty that Jesus' kingdom is eternal. You see, at this period in history, when Jesus came, Rome was ruling over Israel. Nothing was more insulting to a person from Israel than to be under the subjection of somebody else. These were God's people. How could they be subjected to an earthly rule? So when the thought that this Messiah had come, this King of God had come, whose kingdom had come, all they could think, no doubt, was, "Here comes our deliverer from Rome." But Matthew never said that this is why Jesus came. The scriptures never said this is why Jesus came. One day he will come in his second coming, and he will rule over the nations with an iron scepter. But Matthew does make clear that the kingdom of God in Christ is a triumphant kingdom, and it's a triumphant kingdom through war. Yes, Jesus was born King of the Jews. In a sense, he followed this lineage in the line of David. But it was through war, it was through his death on the cross that he triumphed over the kingdom of darkness. I think one way to consider this is like this. We ask, what are the miracles for? What do they prove? Well, listen, the miracles, as wonderful as they were, serve the purpose of putting the kingdom of darkness on notice. But it was at the cross of Christ, through his death and through his resurrection, is these events that broke the back of the enemy. You could say this, the miracles were the subpoena. The cross and the resurrection or the judgment against the kingdom of darkness. This king, though, if we go back early in Matthew's gospel, we would have to surmise, we know he grew up. He grew up in a home of Mary and Joseph. He lived an ordinary life as you or I would. He learned to be submissive to his parents. And at a certain time, we see this in chapter 4, he entered into public ministry. The time had come for him to be revealed, or begin revealing himself as to who he is. And it does culminate at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it is interesting also to note that Matthew omits a great event in the history of Christ on earth. Matthew includes his resurrection. Matthew includes his declaration that he has all authority. But Matthew does not include Jesus' ascension back to heaven, and Jesus ascended in bodily form. Luke captured this in chapter 24 of Luke, and he also captured this in Acts chapter 1. And it was after 40 days of being witnessed on earth after his resurrection that he ascended bodily into heaven. We can't deny this doctrine. This is very important to our Christian faith. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven in bodily form. And he will come again in bodily form. In fact, it tells us this in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, that after he had been witnessed among the brothers, he ascended back to the Father. Here's the event. I want to turn to it in my Bible. Maybe you would like to do that as well. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. I'll begin at verse 7. He told them the commission. It's not for you to know the day or the time the Father has set by his own authority for Christ's restoration of the kingdom, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9, and after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And then the angel said, why are you looking up into heaven? This one who ascended in this same way will come back from heaven in the same way. So he will return in bodily form as well. Jesus came to redeem sinners. This is why him being a human is so important. And as we go through this Gospel of Matthew, we're going to see that our King also suffered and died in our place. Our King took upon himself our hurts, our pains, our brokenness, our sorrows. And ultimately, he took upon the curse that was upon us due to sin. He became a curse. Cursed on the cross. Cursed and forsaken by God the Father. That we might live and have peace with God through the forgiveness of sins and being justified through his resurrection, through faith in Jesus Christ, proven through his resurrection, we can live a life reconciled to God. But when we look at Matthew and we see Jesus is presented as King, let me ask you, what hope do you have for your future? Is your hope anchored to Jesus, who is the King, so that whatever circumstances you face in your life, whatever events come your way, whatever trials or tragedies, heartbreaks, distresses, depressions, whatever joys come, that you can turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving grace and help and confidence and hope that he presides over all of these events. And we wait for a King to come who will show himself mighty and strong. I hope that you will draw near to this King as we study over the next few months. Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. Until next time, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you.